WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
The Wild Talk Radio Network now presents The Evolution in Online Sports Entertainment.
Hey, everybody, this is X-Pac with D-Generation X.
Hey, this is the Rated R Superstar, a.k.a. Adam Copeland, a.k.a. Edge.
This is everyone's favorite wrestler and mine, Rob Van Dam. Listen to me because you are listening to Wrestle Talk Radio.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
Who's ready for story time, baby?
Hosted by Tim Stein.
Best there is, the best there was, or the best there ever will be.
The intern, Kane Kittens.
I am the best in the world at everything I do.
Special guest host this week, local indie wrestler Keishi Matsunaga.
I'm better than you, and you know it.
And the producer, Sir Rockin'.
Acknowledge me.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Don't stop listening, or I will find you. I know where you live. I have Google Earth.
WTR Sunday night.
And remember, it's okay to play with yourself as long as you have an action figure.
Sunday night, and you know what that means. It's time for another edition of WTR Sunday, Wrestle Talk Radio, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com, Twitch.tv/WTR Live Chat. If you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming. Support the channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can use credit card Rocket Sock and Fortnite items when you buy all the X-Men and Shax and beyond, because hashtag Epic Partner. I'm the producer, joined as always by the intern.
I'm sorry, I'm a little busy right now, but yay, go wrestling.
I mean, it didn't help you because we wouldn't start the show at halftime.
I know, they decided to delay the game due to, I don't know, lightning or something, whatever.
Something, cowards. It's a little bit of water and lightning, you know, it's fine.
Just some stuff, it's fine, it's great.
We also have one Keishi Matsunaga.
I mean, the fans in the cheap seats at the top were more likely to get struck than the players.
I mean, he's got a point. I mean, and also you don't have to watch the game, Brent, apparently.
I don't have to?
That's what Lindsay says in chat.
But game! I mean, wait, this comes from the person who was watching the Falcons game all day Thursday for her show.
True. We also have the one and only Tim Stein.
Yeah, that would be me. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi-o.
There you go. Welcome to Wrestle Talk Radio WTR Sunday night broadcast live via Twitch TV, Twitch.tv/WTR Live. Come and join us in our live chat room. And hello to the host of The Rack, the lovely Lindsay Ward in chat. Hi, Lindsay. Tonight, we are going to be focused on talking about Bad Blood, of which there was a fair amount, evidently.
Well, at least in one match, yeah.
I was about to say, at least in the opening match.
They promised, but they delivered it.
At one point, Rock, I texted you and I said that it had to be blood packs. Turns out, I wasn't the only one who thought that they initially used fake blood.
Okay, well, that congrats to you people who've thought that blood is fake in wrestling.
Yeah, well, they have used blood packs previously in relatively recent history. And we all know that blading is a bit of a no-no anymore in WWE. So these guys basically busted each other open the hard way.
And it's blood when it counts the most, and it's not every time, so everything was fine inside Hell in a Cell when CM Punk took on Drew McIntyre. What do we think?
We know both these guys when they got into this situation. We're going to amp it up a little bit. I didn't know that amping it up was going to be taking a toolkit right to the head.
Which, Brent, the internet's mad. Mm-hmm. They're all mad now that we're not throwing a big fuss over it. It was an unprotected toolbox to the head.
No, Rock. It was a gimmicked toolbox.
It was a gimmicked toolbox.
Yes. I mean, apparently when you take unprotected shots to the head, the first thing that you say is, oh, well, that's okay, that's a gimmicked thing, so...
There's also a difference between a toolbox that you're throwing up and a chair that you're swinging down onto somebody's head.
Yeah.
That's also a key point in it.
I feel bad for Drew taking that shot, though, considering it's 16 staples to the head.
I mean, that's cost of doing business. I think later in the match, Tim, when he went into the steel steps butt first, that really hurt. That hurt more.
That is a very, very painful thing, even if you're doing the atomic, whatchamacallit, and being very careful with it. It still doesn't feel good.
No. That one does not feel... That was the one probably that did not feel so good.
I made an audible noise when I saw that.
Yeah. That took me back to my early mid-20s when I used to hang out at a place in Calgary called Malarkey's. Right about the same time that Lance Storm and Chris Jericho were bouncers in that bar. And one evening, just fooling around, just farting around with Lance, he actually did that move on me. And he did it like a wrestler would, because, you know, working and training with Stampede at the time. It was a very, very ginger, gentle landing on his kneecap that had me walking funny for about an hour.
About that is, normally, you know, you take that kind of bump and it's like, oh, you land with your legs hitting it, or you flat back it. You don't take your coccyx right onto it.
Yeah. Why don't you talk to Keishi about taking that move?
Like that stair? Oh, like I said, I made an audible noise when he hit those stairs. I feel like he was trying to shoot a little bit further and just kind of came up a bit short. But ow.
How many times have you taken the atomic drop wrong, Keish?
Wrong? Actually, never.
Yeah. Okay.
I've been very lucky, but I know a couple other guys who have.
Yeah. But yeah. Asking that question and getting your answer, you've never taken it wrong. Have you still felt it immediately afterwards?
The one where you're facing away, I felt a little bit more than the one. Uh-huh. I can't remember which one's atomic, which one's Manhattan or reverse atomic drop.
I think reverse is the one where you're looking outward, face to face on the atomic.
Yeah, so the reverse one, you feel a little bit more just because sometimes you can slip and you'll catch your tailbone. But yeah, I mean, neither one of them is fun to take wrong.
I think just about every pro wrestler I know, and I know as almost as many as Keishi does.
Probably more.
But I think everybody in the business watching that did the same thing that all guys do in movie theaters when guys get narded in the movies, a collective gasp and groan.
Most likely, yeah.
I don't know if there's any crossing of the legs with that happening, but even Keishi told you that he let out a noise in sympathy.
Indeed. But the match itself delivered for what a Hell in a Cell match should be. They didn't go crazy, but they delivered a brutal match.
Yeah, no, this is my conundrum at the end of that match. Well, actually halfway through it, I'm like, this is genius, opening the show with this match. And at the same time, it's like this match should have freaking main evented. Immediately, right now, it's on the list as a potential match of the year.
But we all knew why it wasn't in the main event.
Well, of course, because it wasn't. It's not the number one storyline. But
I was more talking about a final boss. But we'll get to him. We'll get to him.
Someone hit the start button. The thing about this was both men entered this match with the same mindset, which is the old school slash mindset you should have for a match like this. And you guys touched on it Thursday. This needed to be the end of a blood feud. And we got the blood part of the blood feud in this. But this needed to be the match to end it. No qualms, no like leftover, oh man, wouldn't it be great? No, this needed to be end of story. That's it. Move on. And not a transition to, when are we going to get the fourth or the fifth match against these guys? Because, you know, oh my God, this is great storytelling. No, the story has been told. You left it all in that ring. And as was stated, this should be Drew earning 2 to 3 months off to have a nice break in order to especially sell the fact that he went through hell.
Well, he's definitely not working for the next 6 weeks with that scalp.
Well, not, yeah, that, and I mean, even just general selling, like, sure, Punk can show up, but he shouldn't probably have a match for about the next week or two to really be like, I've gone through hell, my body is battered, you know, I can finally go home, because that's the story he had told with Drew of like, I can't go home right now because I hate the person I am, and I'm not subjecting the other people in my life to it.
Yeah. Yeah, and Casey, I did ask you last night how many staples do you figure he was going to wind up with?
Yeah, I mean, at the time, it didn't look that bad.
Yeah, you saw the after pictures, right?
Yeah.
You saw the top down, and it was like, oh.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, it kind of looked like he'd stopped bleeding, too. So I was like, oh, maybe it wasn't as bad as when he, like, immediately covered his face. But
well, and one of my favorite parts of the match was at the very end, after Punk won, and him trying to get up the aisle. He sold the fact that he had been through hell and, you know, collapsed, and the local techs were out there, like, giving him oxygen and being like, hey, you know, we're gonna, like, carry you back, and he's fighting against it, but you can tell he's not 100% there at that moment, which was great, because, again, it puts over the match as very brutal. And the best part was they used the cage the way it was supposed to, and they didn't leave it.
Yeah, I mean, I was a little worried when I saw a bunch of climbing holes.
Yeah, that's just the old cage.
Yeah, I was just like, oh no. But then, yeah, they didn't leave. I'm like, oh, I guess because I was a little bit thrown off because they'd painted it gray instead of whatever color it was before.
Oh, I think this is the old version. I think the red version is just off in storage, but they pulled out the dark version, which is good.
Yeah, no. It was reported that this was the original Hell in the Cell cage.
It was not the original
Hell in the Cell cage.
Yeah, the original one was held together with like tie straps and
right. This is,
well, you know what I mean.
The newer model of what the cage was.
Yeah,
the one they used with Shane and stuff. Shane and Taker, not the Fiend Red Cell.
The Jeff Hardy and Randy Orton version.
In the end, CM Punk walked out victorious. We'll see what happens next. I think
after putting a mouthful of beads into Drew.
Yeah, I was just about to bring that up when he brought out the black bag. How many people were thinking, "Oh shit, here come the tax"?
Oh no, I knew what it was going to be.
Yeah, I straight up told my kid, I'm like, oh, I bet you it's like friendship bracelets.
So, here's a little fact. He made a bracelet. The girl who made the original bracelet and gave it to him was in the crowd. He gave her a bracelet before the show.
I thought you were going to say made of the ones that were used in the match.
No.
I hope he disinfected it first.
No, before the show, he gave her the bracelet. So it all came full circle.
Aw.
Which is neat.
Phil's good. A good guy.
When he wants to be.
Yeah. Well, when he's motivated.
In this
one. And I think WWE has given him the motivation. There are people around to listen to him. There's people, you know, he's willing to volunteer information, and people are willing to hear it and go, hey, you know what? Maybe I should try that. That's why, like, Cora and Roxanne, I think, love having him around and, you know, feature him on social media. And by the way, those posts are amazing.
But I think at the end of the day, he now sees a career with this run.
Oh, yeah.
after the ring.
He's looking at this, 5-10 years down the road, and he's basically said he wants to essentially take over for Sean in NXT.
Yeah.
Because he wants to help shape that next group coming up. He wants to be able to pass along what he knows. And honestly, that's a good thing. If you have someone that has been in the business for as long as he has, who's gone through a lot of the stuff he has, he can be like, hey, and Sean's the same way. You know, he's learned from his mistakes. He's teaching the kids, you know, how to do stuff, what to avoid, probably. And everyone's going to be better for it because they have that roadmap of like, all right, if I get into this situation, maybe I shouldn't do this.
Indeed. Up next, the WWE Women's title was on the line. Nia Jax and Bayley. Thoughts?
Very disappointed.
All right, go, Tim. Why?
Because I picked wrong.
Oh. Yeah, you did.
I marked that one down.
Because remember, we talked about it last week. So
yeah, well, I was the only one expecting it.
I like the way that they sort of teased it. I thought it was well done. Like having the ref pick up the briefcase, not her hand it, and just Nia getting up at the wrong moment, quote unquote. Also, the whole thing where like Nia Jax falls on the ref and just crushes her, I laughed out loud. So I thought that was so good.
Yeah,
Jessica with her training, good job.
Yeah. They're just like, she had her wobbling and the ref is just like, she got hit a little bit, and in my head I was like, oh, she's not gonna go down for that, is she? And then the kick to the head and she just gets like squished. I'm like, that was amazing.
It was a very unique ref bump indeed.
Yeah.
Nia also,
and one that's like believable to take out a ref.
Yeah.
It was a good way to do it. It was, I guffawed.
Also, Nia Jax with the Taker sit up.
Yep.
Yeah. Do not try to cash in around Nia Jax. She will wake up.
She is probably just like one of the jewels, kind of like caught the light the wrong way and got in her eye. And she's like, what is that?
Me saying I was disappointed, I was pointing out to me being wrong about the prediction of the match. It was exactly what I expected the match to be. And I did expect to see Tef come out naturally because of my prediction. They didn't really give us anything surprising.
No, it was solid.
Very straightforward, for the most part, solid match.
This was the match to serve kind of as filler for Nia needs a credible opponent. And as we learned later in the show, there are certain things that are going to be in play for the next month that you're probably going to keep it on her unless you want to do a surprise change to set up a match at the next PLE.
Which, by how the results went, you may need to change one of them because that's an awkward...
I was going to say, that's really awkward. And if you want to, you can do, you know, one brand, or you do have the ultimate card to be played still. And I know you talked about the fact of like it doesn't come out till December, but I think people will still buy it if it is cashed in even.
But it's, she's still a heel.
Right now we're heel. Right, but here's the thing. Even though your current Money in the Bank holder is a heel, she's getting a reaction that's, if you do happen to do it, I think she would get a face reaction.
I'm not.
Well, she's getting that crowd wants her to be a face pop.
But it's not the
reaction. As the heel, currently.
It's not the reaction. It's the wrestling style. Both work the heel wrestling style. Or the three of them.
But
it's
the thing about, is
not
with
the cheering.
With Tiffany, you could still, she could still engage in that style, maybe not full heel, but opportunistic. And I think people would still get behind it. We've seen that take place.
But we're going to Saudi, so you never know.
But here's the other thing. If you try to switch the belt on the other brand, you've already got the other feud lined up. Is that really what you want your first match to be? Your first feud out of that for the title, those two?
They're in a tough spot that they put themselves in, and they probably have an answer to it. For those unaware, it will be at WWE Crown Jewel then, now, and forever, apparently. As long as Crown Jewel's a thing, you'll have a championship battle between the champions for men and women men's world champion versus the men's WWE champion, and women's world champion versus the women's WWE champion. And they will receive a really large, sparkly belt.
Yeah, the, essentially the crown jewel title.
Yes.
Neither belt is on the line, but you're fighting for, essentially, the ultimate champion designation.
And they're doing it, you know, it will be every November, so it's towards the end of the year, so it's not, you have all year to get to that point. So they can build it into something.
So what they're doing is, they're putting in some of the more recent Survivor Series tactics, just not as Survivor Series.
Yeah, it also gets you by because then you can still build to Survivor Series. You're setting yourself up. You have, because Survivor Series would be 3 weeks later, so you have 6-7 weeks now to get to Survivor Series and build a contender. And you can also have a contenders match, if need be, at Crown Jewel.
Yeah.
But the end result was Nia Jax successfully retaining her title over Bayley. Tim was upset as he's... Tiffany did not cash in. Now let's talk some Judgment Day as Damian Priest took on Finn Bálor. Thoughts, Keish?
I mean, I don't know, like nothing super stood out to me in this match, or I'm just forgetting things that might have. I don't know why I can't recall it.
I know
Damian won.
Match. Yeah, it was a solid match. It wasn't.
Yeah.
It was the middle of the show match. They did enough to be a good match, but wasn't going to be like a memorable match.
Yeah, I have nothing good to say. I have nothing bad to say. Like, it was well done. Obviously, it's kind of what you expect when you have those two wrestle, let alone wrestle each other. So, yeah. I mean, I thought it was...
I'll say this. The Finn stomps to Damian as he was halfway up. That was good.
Yeah, I think when it comes to this match, basically, everyone was expecting the same thing. Like, you knew it was going to be a decent match, but everyone was just sitting there going, when are they coming out? Because you knew it was going to be shenanigans and you knew people were going to be involved. So it was just a matter of, as this match is going on, when do we see essentially the two goons come rolling out to try and affect the match? And we got there.
We did.
And they were not as effective as we thought they would be in some respects.
Finn probably
needs to talk to his boys about not playing so much 2K24 and... being more effective, you know, beating people up.
What are your thoughts, Tim?
Well, I gotta admit that I'm kind of with Keisha on this one. It's nothing memorable. I remember Damian won the thing. I remember I was entertained by it. I found it to be a good match. Just nothing off the hook. And it kind of sort of almost felt to me like it was an extended second half Monday Night Raw match, almost.
I mean, that's fair.
Now, by saying that, I'm not trying to take anything away from it, but it just felt like an extension of the type of match that we could get on a Monday Night Raw in the second half of the show.
And on a show where you had Hell in a Cell, you had a big run in the main event. Stuff in the main event and beyond, it was
a middle of the show match.
it was a five match night, right?
Yes.
And when you do that, you only book five matches on a PLE, you're guaranteeing that each and every single match is going to have some time. But for Bad Blood, there were three matches, and I'm sorry, Damian Finn and Nia Bayley were the filler.
And there's nothing
and
wrong
I don't,
with that.
I don't want people to think I'm taking anything away from what those two matches gave us. I'm just saying that those were not the showcase matches on this card.
And I don't think anyone thought they would be. So here we are. So Damian won, as I said. The other half of Judgment Day, Liv Morgan, took on Rhea Ripley for the Women's World Championship. Dominic was inside the shark cage and lifted above the entranceway, not the ring, like usual, but above the entranceway.
And everything they did with Dominic in that shark cage for the entire match was done very well.
With the exception of the fact that the announcers had no idea that they didn't put a lock on the door.
Yeah. They did put a lock on the door. He picked it, remember? He learned it in prison.
I distinctly remember not seeing a lock on the door. Because I was why aren't they putting a lock on the door? And then they raise it in the air. I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
Well, I just like the fact that's what Cole brought up, though, was essentially like he's jimmying the door and it pops open. And his first reference is, oh, he learned that in prison.
Yeah, no, that was funny.
Oh, come on, he spent more time in that shark cage than he did in prison.
I like you, Cole. I like the fact they kept it away from the ring.
Yeah.
Because what it does is, and we talked about this last week when they introduced the idea of the shark cage, which is the person in the shark cage is never neutralized in that respect. Whether it's Enzo Amore slipping out of said cage through the bars, or Teddy Long dropping a chain to Doom back in WCW, or, you know, Harley Race doing stuff. Everyone who's put in a shark cage, because of just the nature of the shark cage, still can be involved. It's just you take a little more effort throwing something to do so. In this, it removed him from the action, and essentially it took a participant to have to go over and want to engage for that to take place. By the way, kudos to Dan Eckler, the referee in this match, for the referee cam and picking up Rhea being like, I'm going to be back in a minute. And he's like, absolutely, you've earned it. Go for it.
Yeah, it was funny.
I just like Corey Graves going, I thought he's supposed to be impartial.
Yeah, you deserve it. You've earned it.
Yeah, he's just like, nah, after what you've been through, go for it. In nah, fact, hit him once for me. Go for it.
The only thing that would have made it slightly funnier, at least in my own personal eyes, if he's like, yeah, I'll use my discretion on this one.
Yeah. Discretion, go for it.
So he also became a human pinata, so that was good.
And Hunter made reference to it in the post show.
He did.
Candy didn't come out of him, but...
But at the end of the day, we saw the return of Raquel Rodriguez.
Did not expect that.
I did, especially after the pre-show, when yeah, they showed the interview with Liv.
Yeah, they set that one up easy on the kickoff.
Yeah, they were just like, she talked about Raquel and, you know, how she believed in her and all of that. And it was just like, oh, we're going to see someone here.
Yeah, well, there are those of us who missed the pre-show, so I wasn't expecting it.
But no, which is a good thing. But no, it's them using the kickoff now with those interviews. Like, all right, there could be some story stuff in there that kind of makes you have to tune in, which is good. You need for the hour or two that they air it, give people a reason, and they did. Yeah, she's back. She's now, I guess, part of Judgment Day or something.
I don't know. That was really awkward, her involvement, because she hits Rhea and the bell rings because, of course, the referee saw it, and that's a DQ. She then gives her the Tahana bomb and puts Liv on top of her.
So here's what happened. The referee, as always, the referee's decision is final. He saw everything. The finish was supposed to be Liv pinning Rhea thanks to Raquel, which is why she put her on top.
But and the then awkwardly removed her.
Yeah, so they went through the finish as planned, but the referee had to call for the DQ because the referee
screwed up.
They forgot to distract the ref. It happens.
Yeah, what they should have done at the table was just sell it as a symbolic gesture.
But yeah, so that's why it was awkward.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be, which is why in the press conference later we beat Rhea tonight, but she's actually
Rhea won by DQ.
Rhea won by DQ. We outsmarted her, but yeah, so they'll probably have to figure that out tomorrow. But overall, solid match.
So as of right now, your match for Crown Jewel, Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax.
Yeah.
As of now,
we got 4 weeks. They'll figure that one out.
Mm-hmm.
They'll figure it out.
Do you want Gunther to face Cody in 4 weeks?
Yeah, that one will be fine.
Shut up and take my money on that one. I know we saw it at the Royal Rumble, but shut up and take my money.
Cody's
what did I tell you at that Royal Rumble about that? Do you remember?
What did you say, Tim? It's a year. It's a year and a half.
It has been a year and change, hasn't it? Shit. Basically, what Casey was saying, shut up and take my money. I want more of that.
I think everyone said that too at the time.
Cody's chest is going to get as purple as when he tore his pec.
Yeah, that is very, very, very
He's going to work on the other pec.
Yeah.
But speaking of Cody Rhodes, he teamed up with Roman Reigns to take on Solo Sikoa and Jacob Fatu of the New Bloodline. Orchestra for Roman, marching band for Cody. They had a good match.
I mean, Roman's classier. He gets the orchestra. We get it.
Well, this match featured actually two separate things. Well, three separate things. One to help in the match, and two other things happened post-match. We'll get to that. But I really, really felt extremely entertained by what everybody gave us in the main event last night.
Yeah,
it was well done.
I like that they had Roman in peril throughout this match at times. It wasn't just the full-out tribal chief as we've seen in other stuff. You also had Cody in peril at times. And the little salute at the right time was a good call as well.
Yeah, it was funny. I'm gonna take care of this. It's all on you now.
Peace. Yeah, I like that. Hey, I'm doing this for you, buddy. Timber. But it was a good spot, and it shifted the focus when it needed to be.
Wasn't that the closest Cole has gotten to being actually squashed?
I don't know. Earlier in that day, he got someone thrown into him, and he was pinned a little bit against the. There was a couple of times during this show, Cole. Almost got involved
inadvertently. Yeah. But the whole thing from the from Cody Roman teaming up was, can they trust each other? Can they trust each other? They said they're going to have each other's back. Which one's going to turn on the other one first? And they both showed, you know, the honor side of each other. And not only did they have each other's back, they took it to like that one extra step, which is really cool.
I liked that. I liked hearing a little bit of like Jacob during the match when stuff was happening. You know, he would go, he would beat down, and you know, when he's like yelling at Roman or at Cody, he turns and he was just like, you know, I love you, my tribal chief. You know, it's just like taking it that extra step of like fanaticism that Jacob has. In a sense,
this is for you. I love you.
Right. It's that kind of thing of like, okay, Solo was the enforcer. He never really talked, of course, until he broke out, and then he's had his moments. But it's like Jacob, when he does talk, is almost a fanatic of just like, yeah, he's brought in to be the unquestioned enforcer, and he will do whatever is needed. And by the way, I messaged this when I watched the show. Jacob Fatu has the most effortless and beautiful moonsault of anyone I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
Including Io Sky, who, when she does hers, is very fluid, but the fact that he can just bounce up to the top rope and effortlessly pull off a perfect moonsault at every opportunity and hit it smack on where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, no, Jacobs is just silk. You're absolutely right.
That spot where it was him hitting that and then Solo hitting the splash, and Roman just ever so slightly like did the one roll after the moonsault to get into position was just, oh, it looks so good between the two of them.
Very well done. And I will say that towards the end of the match, for a split second, I honest to God thought that was Orton.
Oh.
I honest to God, for a split second, thought it was Orton.
It was not. It was Jimmy Uso.
Jimmy, welcome back.
He was so happy to be out there and screw Solo.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I just want to point this out really quickly. 10 years ago, we would sit here on our computers talking to the internet, and every now and then we'd bring up a rant or a bitch or a complaint that storylines are rushed and there's no build up. And this has totally 100% completely gone by the wayside. How long has the Bloodline storyline been going?
Technically 4.5 years.
No,
pretty much.
Was it 2020 or 2021?
Pretty much 2020.
Was it 2020? Okay. COVID.
I thought it was like Survivor Series 2020. When Roman came back.
SummerSlam. Yeah, right?
Yeah, it was 2020, yeah.
The storytelling and their ability to keep expanding and then changing and then giving us something new within, you know, inside of this. Every time I feel like I've had enough, they freshen it up. And they have kept it going for that entire length of time. And they're still going. And there's no end in sight. But I'm not sitting here, oh my God, move on already. There is a very, very small minority of people who are doing that. The majority of wrestling fans, casual fans, regular fans, the smart marks, the hardcore people that I have talked to are invested still. And that is absolutely phenomenal. That's amazing.
Which is good. So the finish was Jimmy Uso helped Roman Reigns and Cody Rhodes retain. Then the Bloodline started beating down Cody Rhodes after the match, and Jimmy had we gotta go help him. You gave your word. And Roman was like, okay. And then they go and save Cody. And then Dwayne shows back up. And there's a slit of the throat. Walks away back on Instagram Live and cuts a 5-minute promo as he's walking to his car.
Counts 1, 2, 3. Then does the double finger throat slash.
Yeah, 1, 2, 3 music hits and then the throat thing.
I'm sorry, Brent. I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
No, go ahead. Good.
Okay. The question is, who is he looking at? Cody or Roman?
Yes.
All three. Jimmy. It could be 1, 2, 3 people.
And in the crowd, Solo goes, part of the plan to have Dwayne back. But also for Casey, Dwayne cut a 5-minute promo. He didn't say anything.
Oh.
He just ranted and didn't progress anything.
He drank a big gulp of his tequila.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And, we'll see what happens. A lot of bullshit's been going on.
I mean, that was inconsequential, but something did get advanced later.
Yeah, we'll
get it. Yeah, we know Cody's next opponent.
So, after the show, Cody was scheduled to do a press conference later, he did not make it as he was jumped at his bus by Kevin Owens, which the matter will be handled internally, according to Triple H.
Whoops.
And they didn't film any of that, right? It was all footage, or is that quote unquote fan footage?
No, I think that's all fan footage, but I would assume they
quote unquote security camera.
I think they will appropriate fan footage to show what happened on the show.
Yeah, they probably had their own fans in there to capture it. But that was a cool way to do an angle. Got people talking. Everything doesn't need to be on television.
Nope.
And one other note about the show that we did not mention. Brent.
Yes.
Contractual obligation.
Okay. All right, folks. Here we go. When Hunter is in the ring making his historic announcement about the said Crown Jewel champion, essentially, we get Gunther, your heavyweight champion, comes rolling out, and while he's in the ring, he decides to look over, and they've been making announcements all night of like, welcome WWE Hall of Famer Jacqueline, and
everybody in the crowd, yep,
Cody and Tully, and they mentioned one guy who lives in Atlanta, Mr. Contractual Obligation himself, Billy Goldberg. And Gunther can't help but look over at Goldberg. And basically said, what I said on Monday Night Raw about Brett and you is I was wrong. And
I lied.
Yeah. And basically starts to call out Goldberg, and Goldberg's just sitting there like, yeah, whatever. And then he starts mentioning Gage, his son, who plays, I believe, linebacker at Colorado. Good thing they had an off week this week.
Kid got big.
Yeah. Remember when he was that little kid, like, whatever, 11, with shirt on?
That just seems like that was last February.
now he's a scholarship athlete, But he calls out Goldberg. He starts making comments about Gage. Gage is just whispering in his ear. Bill's still okay with it. Starts mentioning some stuff about Bill's wife. Bill had enough.
And the wife is like, Bill, don't do that. Bill, you're sleeping on the couch tonight if you jump that fence.
Oh, he jumped that railing quick. more security than I thought WWE employed came out into the ring instantly to separate the two, but it was all a setup so that you could finally get Sammy on the show to hype up the match for Monday, because he proceeded to take the opportunity to smack around Gunther, and Gunther landed a cheap shot kick while Sammy was being held back. So, yeah, and Bill turned to the camera. So Hunter raised his hand in the ring after all that was happening. Bill turns to the camera and basically calls Gunther next. So who knows where we're going?
More contractual obligations.
But I heard a bunch of people, you know, groaning and complaining about all of this. I told Rock last night on CB Radio, if anything, Gunther may be a perfect opponent for Bill Goldberg. For one simple fact, Gunther will put him in so many rest holds and draw that match out to where Bill doesn't really have to do... He can hit his, you know, big moments if need be, but for the grand scheme of things, Gunther can sit on him in a Boston Crab for 3 minutes if he wants to draw this match out. It will work.
So Gunther will wind up carrying the shit out of him. You're absolutely correct.
So yeah, that happened. So that was Bad Blood.
Very entertaining, P-O-E, and I enjoyed it very much. Really, really good. Really entertaining. And you know it's good when you know that it's a certain length of time, yet it feels like it wasn't long enough. You want more.
Yeah, that works. Housekeeping.
Housekeeping. Okay. So we had
We had 12
people participate in our Pick'em Challenge this PLE. Tied for 10th place, going 1-4. So you at least got one right.
Me.
No, it was Subway. It was Lindsay Ward of The Rack.
Whoa.
And it was one, Tim Stein.
Oh, yeah, but I predicted three separate non-finishes.
The only match he got correct was Liv Morgan.
Yep.
Which we all picked.
Wait a minute. You mean I didn't get the steel cage right? I thought I got that one right. Hell in a cell.
No, you picked Drew Mack.
Yeah, big dummy.
You picked Drew, apparently.
You picked Drew McIntyre. You and Casey picked McIntyre. I was the only one to pick Punk.
What I said stands, you big dummy.
All right. Okay. In ninth place, going 2-3, so just under 500, our godfather of extreme, Rob Parks. Tied for sixth place, going 3-2, Sheila, Rock, and Casey Matsunaga.
Wow, I mean, I thought I only got two right, so I'm happy with myself.
Shit, for a second, you thought you only got one right.
No, yeah. you picked Liv, you picked Nia, and then you were the only one to pick the main event properly out of the three of us.
Oh, it gave me.
I picked Finn over Damien?
Yes, you did.
Oh, you big dummy.
You Judgment Day shenanigans.
I picked Priest because I thought Rhea was going to lose, and I thought one of the Terror Twins was going to win.
Okay.
And... Yeah, I mean, your logic was sound, but I already made my pick, so I stuck with it.
And tied for first place was Sarah, Chris P., the 8-Ball, the Wheel, and me. We tied with the inanimate objects, which got first.
Hey, a broken clock is right twice a day.
Yeah,
so it's a random wheel.
Isn't this the first time the goddamn Wheel and 8-Ball came out first?
We've had them individually in first place. I think it's the first time collectively.
Not together.
And with that, we're done.
We are absolutely done. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I hope you guys enjoyed Bad Blood. Get ready for the next one in 4 weeks. Crown Jewel with the brand new belt. Awarded once a year. They're going to be one for the men, one for the women. What do they call it? The Crown Jewel title?
Yes.
There you go. But anyway, shit unfolds and there's fallout tomorrow night on the new 2-hour version of WWE Raw, and Rock is really happy about that because he gets to go on the Raw post show an hour earlier, wrap up an hour earlier, and play an extra hour of video games tomorrow night right after the Raw post show.
No, he's not happy about it. He's in a routine and does not like his routine screwed up, so it'll be really difficult to be ready for 10 p.m. Eastern for the Raw
for
post
2 months.
Old
man yells at Cloud.
I have my routine and it's screwing me over, but it's okay.
Oh my
show.
God.
Live 10 p.m. Eastern. The Rack is live Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern. to review Bad Blood. Friday night is GM Battles after SmackDown. So we continue going through that. Saturday night, there is no game night on Saturday because of the pay-per-view, which means we'll have a programming on for next week. But there will be CB Radio Live at 11:30 p.m. Eastern. There will be no WTR Sunday night next week because in its place, we're going to be doing CB Radio Not So Live reviewing AEW Wrestle Dream at 10 p.m. Eastern. It's at Wild Talk Radio on Twitter, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. It's at WTR Sunday Night on Twitter and Facebook. Tim is on social media.
I am. You can find me at Flames Forums. And I'm on there with hockey season actually kicking off. Technically, the NHL regular season already started overseas in Europe. The New Jersey Devils beating the Buffalo Sabres in the first game of the 2024-25 season. But for everybody else in North America, kicks off this week, Tuesday, Wednesday, is the new season. I'm tweeting about it. So if you're into hockey, follow me. If you're not into hockey, follow me anyway, because I tweet about a lot of other shit. And I've got more stuff coming down within a few weeks, hopefully. Big announcement from us, Rock, with something I'm working on. And yes. I say us because I'm including you guys.
Indeed. Case, you're on social.
Yeah, you can find me on most social medias that people use on a regular basis at Kyle Driver.
Right?
Yep, you can find me on social medias, you know, X, Twitter, Threads, Instagram, stuff like that, either at Kane Kittens or at Kane.Kittens. one of those will work at those platforms.
Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link in the description account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel. By clicking the purple rectangle button below the screen, you can also use credit card RocketSock at the Fortnite item shop. It's hashtag Epic Partner. We're done. Tim, send us home.
That's it. That's all. Hope you enjoyed tonight. Remember, programming note, next Sunday night, CB Radio Not So Live. And then we're back in 2 weeks. Have yourselves a fantastic week, everybody.
WildTalkRadio.com.